This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to hear about something very, very important today on Make It Plain. Chat GPT has taken over a lot of the conversation in all that we do. But what about Chat GPT that speaks directly to us, that answers our questions as Black people? And so to join us now and to tell us all about it from Onyx Impact is our dear sister, Isosa, how are you?
I am wonderful and so happy to be here today.
Thank you for joining us, and happy to have you. First of all, for those who don't know, tell our audience a little bit about Onyx Impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Onyx Impact we're a nonprofit organization. We are dedicated to studying Black online spaces and fighting disinformation, harmful information narratives that are targeting, you know, our community in particular.
And so you have something called, first of all, the Digital Green Book. And for those of you who know about the Green Book, and if you didn't know, I'm sure you saw the movie, you now have digitized it and put this type of resource online.
That's right. The Digital Green Book, you can find it at digitalgreenbook.org, just like the original Green Book by Victor Green was created to help Black folks navigate to safe spaces. We created the Digital Green Book to help Black communities navigate online spaces, to navigate online harms. And so as a part of that, we, you know, have sections, how do we protect our truth? How do we protect our kids? And how do we protect our culture in this moment of in this information war, if you will, that's attacking Black history, attacking Black news, attacking, you know, our culture, our identity.
And a part of that now, and folks, she mentioned this to me offline. I said, we got to talk about this. we got to talk about it. So we have Black Chat GPT, right? That's what we're calling it. And she has a name, Aisha, correct?
That's right.
Tell us all about this, please.
So if you go to the Digital Green Book, again, it's digitalgreenbook.org. One of the tools you'll find on there is a AI tool named Aisha that our team created to uplift, to inform, and connect Black communities to good and trusted information. It's not only what makes it different, what makes it different than ChatGPT. Aisha is one, she's trained on Black news, on local Black news, national Black news, Black history. We spent weeks developing, you know, her system prompt, explaining what different aspects of Black history, Black trauma. We spent a ton of time on what Black joy meant and was reflective of, because you know, as you know, you don't want to tell an AI to go figure out what it means to be Black from the internet, right? That would be horrible and dangerous. So we took a ton of time to develop this tool and put her on this website that we have and she will prioritize Black-led sources, historically accurate information, try to prevent, you know, distortions and digital manipulations of, you know, Black identity, Black history. And, you know, our team is really on hands with this tool to try to make sure that it's accurate and culturally relevant. You know, the possibilities for Aisha are endless. We started this as a way to give folks a way to answer questions. You know, instead of going to 10 fact-checking websites, you can just, you know, ask Aisha. And, you know, within a month, we've got folks, you know, using Aisha to find Jamaican recipes. We've got people using Aisha to write all types of scripts to help with their Black small businesses. We're really, really excited about what Aisha can grow into and what her capabilities can be helping Black communities specifically moving forward.
Now, I know many of you can't wait to see this, so I'm not going to delay. I'm going to share. We're going to see if we can bring Aisha up on the screen. And let's see what we have here. There is the screen right there. You see, right? So this is actually the Digital Green Book itself. So first of all, walk us through this, if you don't mind, a little bit. What is it that people are seeing now, and just all the ways, first of all, the Digital Green Book itself can be useful and helpful?
Sure. So if you scroll down, right, a little bit, you'll see where the Aisha chat box and tool is, right? But, you know, really quickly to go to the other things that the Green Book offers, yeah, click right there. And so you'll see tips to protect our truth in this time. So again, how do we protect? How do we stop digital manipulation? If you scroll down, you'll see ways to spot digital and emotional manipulation online. You know, a lot of folks don't know that 42% of social online traffic is bad bots, right? That's fundamentally shaping how we see our reality, right? And what we view to be authentic conversations. So you get, we have a ton of what are called, if you scroll down a bit, just these cards, right? Just a little bit more, just that very easily, how do you spot social media manipulation, right? We'll give you 5 quick tips. How do you take back control of your data online, right? We'll give you really quick tips on how to do that. You can click any of these to find more details. How do you, what are the types of tricks that they're using to manipulate Black history, to manipulate our society, right? And then the Protect Our Kids section, one of the most important sections that we have, right? This is, you know, when people say that social media companies are rolling back content moderation policies, what does that mean, right? That means that they're allowing more racism, more anti-Blackness, more harmful content into our digital realities and into the feeds of our kids, right? Our Black kids that are experiencing this racism and anti-Blackness well before we even have a chance to talk to them about what race is. And it's causing disproportionate mental health struggle. So we talk about how to use parental controls. We talk about how to teach your kids digital knowledge, digital critical thinking. And then we have, you know, the third part, how do we protect our culture? What does it mean to follow Black news? What does it mean to use Black social media sites to buy Black? How do you buy Black? What are some places you can go to make sure that you're doing that? And so this is just a start for what we want to build, but we hope that this is, you know, a way for folks to get started to build a really resilient digital, Black digital ecosystem, Black digital culture, and push back against, you know, a lot of the harms that we're seeing happen to our society in particular.
You know, that's very, very important. And you mentioned how we're targeted and targeted negatively so much. Just in my own work and in the organizing I do, we're coming up on the 30th anniversary of Main Man March. We see now more conversation pitting Black men against Black women that metastasize in the election. And I remember, especially when Clubhouse was out, Clubhouse is as popular as it used to be. Every night, there was some room. First of all, there was a room, Black men versus Black women. Then there was another room, or several rooms, pitting Africans and African-Americans against each other. Those things are happening by design, aren't they?
Yes, we're seeing, you know, those types of divisive narratives are going to be uplifted inauthentically by social media platforms, because when a platform, when an algorithm realizes a narrative is divisive, to that algorithm, that's synonymous with engagement, right? If something is more divisive, it will likely be more engaging. So how do I make sure to push and uplift this topic more, right? And then when we get to elections, we see that those are the types of narratives people, bad actors, want to uplift the most, because, you know, if you can, disinformation needs fear and divisiveness to spread. It's far easier to spread lies, to disengage folks after you've told them, after you've divided them, after you've told them that there's no one or nothing can be trusted, right? And so we see a lot of these types of narratives be really, really pushed far more heavily as we get closer to elections.
And so you're saying that the algorithms, they're triggered by that. They push that out automatically when it's divisive and it gets that much, because divisiveness means more engagement. So is the algorithm looking for divisiveness, or is it looking for engagement? In other words, if we did something positive that got more engagement, would the algorithm push that out, or the algorithms push that out?
The algorithms would, but they identify more harmful narratives as far more likely to be engaging, right? And if you're, and they also, there's also, in their view, a correlation between being things being divisive and people staying on longer, people wanting to engage for a longer period of time. So yes, the algorithms actually are pushing, uplifting divisiveness more than what we would, you know, experience if we were just talking to one another in everyday life. I think it is, you know, it is creating a situation where we're internalizing a lot of trauma that's not our own, right? Like, I don't know how many times you've seen red balloons pop, but at this point, you know, I think we should get rid of every single one of them. These spaces that are prioritizing kind of Black gender wars are, again, going to be spaces that are very opportune for misconceptions to spread.
Yeah, yeah. So who, Sister Isosa, decides these algorithms or writes these algorithms? How do they even come into being? And where are we at the table when it comes to that?
It's a great question. Where are we at the table when it comes to that? We're usually barely a second or third kind of thought here. You know, we can take something like Facebook, whose, you know, initial algorithm is famously known is based on, you know, a Zuckerberg's hot or not initial algorithm he created in college, right? And that is still what is determining what people want and don't want to see. That is something that we have seen that they have admitted both can have racist implications and can also aggressively push people into very harmful spaces. Like, you know, I remember the report they released a couple years ago talking about how they were responsible for moving people into white supremacist chat groups on Facebook. It didn't talk about how they were going to change it. It just said, hey, by the way, our algorithms are actually feeding these groups. And then you have something like ChatGPT, right? The way that algorithms usually, these artificial intelligences are usually created, right? It is only after they realize the harm are they like, oh, maybe we should put quote unquote guardrails in place. They're not trying to create, you know, a more inclusive product from the beginning. They are trying that. What they usually end up doing is having to put, please don't be racist, guardrails. And so if you, you know, one of the things that, you know, people can do with Aisha, you know, if you're a Black nonprofit or if you're trying to do outreach to Black voters, right, for civic engagement that you need, BT to do that same thing, you get a warning. You're like, another question. They're just like, we are so afraid that our algorithm will be racist in answering this question that we'd prefer for you to ask us anything else.
Interesting.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
So let's go right to Aisha, and we're gonna pull Aisha up on the screen, and we can pretty much ask Aisha anything, right? And help me out here, because I'm drawing. Give what's a good question to start with, Sosa, just to really demonstrate the power of this. Sosa, you might be frozen on my screen. I think on my screen. I don't know. Let me see. Sosa, can you? Yeah, we might have frozen somewhat. There we go. All right, folks, we may have lost our sister. I'm not sure, but we'll try to we'll try to get her back, hopefully. Let's see. But in the meantime, so we're talking about Aisha, and sorry about that. We're talking about Aisha ChatGPT. Let me, y'all bear with me. Let me see if I can get her right back in real time. And this is really very interesting. Oh yeah, I think she's coming back. I think she is. There we go. There we are.
Okay. My apologies.
Yeah, we lost the signal, but it's cool. That happens. That's the internet. They probably know we're talking about them. okay, no problem. So look, we're gonna do. Let's go to Aisha.
Okay.
and see what we can do here. So let's start with you. Give what's a good question to show this and demonstrate to the audience the power of this?
How about we try how will tariffs impact Black communities? Since I think tariffs are big in the news right now.
Of course. Okay. So how will tariffs impact, I can't spell today, Black communities? Boom. So putting that in, Aisha. So wait a minute. Should I have hit the arrow rather than return?
You should just refresh the page if it's been sitting there for a little bit.
I see. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Refreshing the page.
Yep.
All right. Let's go now. Let's try. How will tariffs impact? Why can't I type today? You all are seeing how poor my typing skills are. Black communities. If I can spell communities.
You don't need to spell anything correctly. I should know what you're talking about. All right, she's thinking. Let's see.
Okay, let's roll up here. President Trump's tariffs on imports from countries like Canada, Mexico, China have led to increased costs for goods and services, disproportionately affecting Black communities. These tariffs have raised prices on essentials such as groceries, etc. This impact is particularly severe for Black communities who already face a higher percentage of their income spent on these necessities. These tariffs have also led to potential job losses in industries like auto manufacturing, which employ a significant number of Black workers, economic stability further harmed. And then you have Fumoidi. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So now what this does now is what we're seeing. We're not going to get quite as in-depth an answer on another chat GPT, unlike Aisha, correct?
What you'll likely get if you type that same question into chat GPT is a far more kind of academic response that does not necessarily really speak to what you want to hear. This is Aisha's is created to be more empathetic, to be easier to understand, and to one also prioritize Black sources. I highly doubt that you will get what are the sources at the bottom there.
You got Black Press USA and yes. Dallas Weekly, so those are good sources.
Exactly, and so
we're actually streaming on Black Press USA right now.
I love it, and so you will get information written by us for us far more likely when you're using Aisha.
Yeah, no, that's great. So can I ask, I can just type in anything else I want, right? I can
anything you want.
Okay. Tell me if this is too controversial.
Lord.
Is Elon Musk you know what? I'm gonna do this. Let's see what happens.
You can type in whatever you want.
Is Elon Musk a racist?
Mm.
Thinking.
Now, you know, you're not going to get Aisha in trouble like that.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get Aisha in trouble.
No. What'd she say?
Elon Musk has faced criticism and legal challenges related to allegations of racial discrimination. It's very objective. For instance, his company Tesla has been sued by the EEOC for alleged racial abuse of Black employees, including claims of racial slurs and nooses found in the workplace. Additionally, Musk has made statements on social media that are perceived as dismissive of diversity efforts, such as claiming that diversity initiatives and companies that have made air travel less safe, etc. And then it's got NBC News as a source. So, absolutely. Yeah, this is good.
And, you know, if you were to, I'm typing that same question here. And to ChatGPT is let's see. You know, you'll see things like, while there's no definitive evidence of his remarks, he's been criticized for many insensitive, what have you. Mm-hmm. Now, Aisha is unlikely to call someone racist, but she will put the facts out there immediately about what we are or not talking about, right?
Right. No, and those are objective facts, which is fine. I mean, that's good, because sometimes it's, in these other spaces, like you just read, we don't even get that.
Right.
And it references a news source that, you know, for all intents and purposes is credible. It references NBC News. The previous one represented our source, Black Press USA. So this is quite meaningful. I'm gonna let's try one more. What is a good organization to join to fight racism? I just want to kind of see what it says.
Oh, you're gonna have to just type it in one more time. Type it in one more time.
Okay. What is a good organization to join to fight against racism? I can't spell racism. You said I don't have to know how to spell.
You don't need to know exactly. She's gonna know what you're talking about.
My mother and grandmother wouldn't tolerate that, so I gotta, even if Aisha don't mind. Ah, a great organization to consider joining the fight against racism is the NAACP. They have a long history. Another impactful organization, Southern Poverty Law System, which focuses on fighting hate and bigotry. Additionally, ACLU works to defend and preserve individual rights and liberties, including fighting against racial discrimination. Each of these organizations offers various ways to get involved, from volunteering to advocacy and education. So anything we ask like that, it's going to be helpful.
It's going to be helpful, yes.
Helping us to figure out.
And my favorite, if you go ahead and type right in there, you know, God is good.
Oh, goodness. Ah, really? Ah, love it. God is good.
When I realized that, we were shocked, but it's a pretty awesome. It speaks to the communities that Aisha is here to serve, definitely.
Okay, so now, so I have to ask this. So now, how did that happen? Did how much of that do you have to like program, or is there something set up where this chatbot knows that phrase just organically? I'm just curious, how does that?
So what's interesting about artificial intelligence is watching it learn based off what how you prompt it and what have you. So there was some other phrase that we thought that the answer was too academic, and asked Aisha to kind of slim it down. And then over time, we found that, you know, not only is she going to do God is good all the time, but, you know, and if you write in there and all the time, God is good, that's exactly how she'll respond. And those are not that, you know, we did not tell Aisha to say, and all the time, God is good. Right. It is just, but it is something that, you know, they learn over time based off of what people are asking Aisha. And, you know, again, that system prompt that we have.
Folks, this is really fascinating. One more question, Sister Sosa, can it mitigate some of the fears and concerns we, especially as a Black community, have been having about AI in general? Does this help change the game for us in that regard?
I think it does. I absolutely think that inclusive AI tools are fundamentally needed in order to make sure that Black folks are not left behind in this race towards you know, artificial intelligence being how we operate so much of society, right? So there's such a dearth of Black history, Black American history, especially in a lot of these algorithms, which is why they just put guardrails on it. You know, a lot of them are learning off of encyclopedia words of background and culture on other cultures and Wikipedia versions of Black history. And so, you know, the more and very few AIs are built with, you know, service in mind. They're usually built for some type of business product that eventually the business realizes that, oh, I guess we're catering to a certain type of community. So maybe we should make sure we can speak to that community. That's the only real way that AI becomes anywhere near inclusive oftentimes, right? It's merely like from the get-go, this is about serving Black folks. So we're incredibly, you know, excited about what Aisha can do, what the Digital Green Book can do, and we're you know, ready to continue to try to improve it.
No, it's important. We need y'all in this. What's next? What else can we look forward to in the days and months to come?
You can look forward to us releasing, more catered versions of Aisha. We want Aisha for parents, Aisha for entrepreneurs, Aisha for different aspects of our society. How do we help create, you know, as resilient of a online and Black digital future as possible?
That's amazing. And suppose, like we just mentioned the NAACP, for example, suppose there's information about my particular organization that I want Aisha to be aware of, or even more in-depth, have more in-depth knowledge about. Can people do that? Can people reach out to you in Onyx and say, hey, I see you got this going on. Can I share some information that might be useful in what Aisha is sharing with the world?
Yes, to a certain extent. I think we can definitely make sure that we are constantly adding, you know, good sources of information for Aisha to look through, and she'll take those sources and she'll look for similar sources online, right? As opposed to just looking everywhere online, which is how you get a lot of hallucinations. So that is 100% something that we can do. And it's also, you know, just helpful to continue for people to speak to Aisha and tell them what they're concerned about and have her, you know, use that as helpful information to learn.
And so basically you're a nerd, right?
100%.
Yeah. I didn't know, but I get it now. I see it. It's clear. That's cool.
Yeah. It's like half of these books back here are like sci-fi. So.
Yeah, we love the nerds. You watching Andor?
I'm not watching Andor right now. I'm very much more of a Star Trek person, but
you start you're in that lane. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. My son is Star Wars, but he kind of moved away after they did what they did to the Acolyte and that whole thing. It's with him now about, you know, how they treated our sister. But no, this is great. And folks, yes, we need this. We need the nerds like Isosa. This is very, very important. It was I was so surprised and enthusiastic and she shared it with some of us, you know, kind of privately. And it was kind of like, oh, y'all, I was like, that's not matter of fact. That's like, what? This is huge. This needs to, we need to blow this up. Yes. So we appreciate you. Folks, go to digitalgreenbook.org for all the reasons we shared. The Digital Green Book has a lot of important information right there. But Aisha is also there. And you can ask Aisha anything. Is it named after anyone in particular? How did you all come up with the name? Is she named?
My team is, you know, a bunch of young Gen Zers, and they are cooler than me. And so AI and Aisha is yeah. how they came to that name. But I think, you know, folks that are a little older, like myself, we hear that name and we think very fondly of different shows and whatnot from our time. So,
right.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Isosa Osa has been our guest, folks. Folks, share this with everyone, and definitely share the URL with everyone, digitalgreenbook.org. Isosa, thank you so much for joining us on Make It Plain, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all.
And we'll be spreading the word.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.